you go on it?
No, no, it's
yes.
Your job.
No, here's your call.
Kick her out. Kick her out. Kick her out.
Behavior.
Okay, well, let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. And Joe, you start.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Oh, excellent. Well, I will turn this meeting over after roll call to Alderman Procher, and I will be here for questions if you'd like. But we'll do roll call, and I will turn it over to Mr. Procher. Thank you.
Coke.
Here.
Transier.
Here.
Plocher.
Here.
Soling.
Here.
Funkhauser.
Here.
Merrick.
Here.
Tarulis.
Here.
Peterson is absent. We have a quorum.
Thank you. Go ahead, Joe.
All right. Any amendments to the agenda? Seeing none, moving on. Presentation. We have one, Alice Ligane. Is that right, sir?
Alicia.
Alicia.
Ligane.
Yep. Ligane.
Would you like to
introduce
Yorkville Educational Foundation?
Here? Awesome. Thank you very much. So my name is Alicia Ligane, and I am the president of Yorkville Educational Foundation. We're the nonprofit partner of Yorkville School District 115. And first of all, I just want to thank all of you for being so supportive of the school district and the incredible work that you're doing. I wanted to come here to tell you just a little bit about a project that is happening through the school district and in partnership with the Parks and Rec Department. So we have a interdisciplinary unit that is really just looking to get out into the community. So we have a bunch of elementary school age kids that they are going to all of our parks and looking at playground equipment and really exploring and telling our school district as well as the parks exactly what they want to see in their playgrounds. So it is a great way for our students to get into the community, and it couldn't have been done without Scott Squeezer and Tim Evans, who I actually want to just ask you to come up real quick, because they have been nominated through the foundation for their work. So there is an initiative of the year award, and so I want to recognize them for their great work with the Park Rangers program. So Scott, Tim, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Matt, thank you very much for helping us out. So just as a note, these kids, they get to go back and make suggestions for their own playgrounds in our schools. And so a few lucky kids will get their wishes of twisty slides and whatever else they want, but they get to do the inquiry process through Scott and Tim. So very appreciative. So thank you.
Thank you.
I'm actually pretty excited because I get the chaperone for BGS tomorrow. So I might get some notes from you, Tim.
I'll be there.
You're there, Scott? Actually, the first one today.
All right, moving along. First, we'll have Bart give a short thing on the short as you can make it.
We'll see about that.
Presentation on the budget. And then we'll open it up for public hearing.
Thank you for the introduction. Again, I'm Bart Wilson, I'm the city administrator. So Rob was kind enough to fill in last meeting, give a presentation on the budget. So I wanted to just reinforce a couple points from Rob's presentation and then expand a little bit for purposes of the public hearing. So again, our second presentation on the budget is tonight. We do have the public hearing, you know, I'm just going to open and close here in a few minutes, and the city council has to approve the budget before the end of the fiscal year at the end of April. So tonight's outline, again, just hitting on the big picture, quick review of the year-by-year of those projects, a few of the items to note that are in the memo, and then some of the small picture items, which I think are relevant to some of our broader discussions. So not specifically covered in tonight's PowerPoint are all the funds that are listed there, so we can do those in the committee, do those in the future city council meeting. If you have any questions, we can do do it outside of the meeting if you'd like. So, just a reminder, it is a 5-year budget, but only the fiscal year 23 budget is approved by City Council. So really, you've got one column to approve and everything else is a planning document. So these are the charts that Rob showed at the last meeting, just comparing last year's 5-year budget document to this year's 5-year budget document. And in general, the fund balance in the general fund is much better than it was in last fiscal year 5-year proposal. So when you take all the funds and lump them together, we have a wild swing from the more steady 5-year budget proposal last year to this year's, which is up and down. And that's because we are proposing to sell bonds and spend money on a couple large municipal buildings. So that's taking in the bond revenue one year and then spending the next year. So, and again, when you look at the aggregate city budget, we are in a better position overall in the 5-year budget proposal than we thought we would be last year. So again, that picture of the general fund and the aggregate is really explained by this chart here, which is all of our capital spending in the entire budget. I don't know if this is a record. I'm assuming it is. I did not go back and check. But between the municipal buildings, fully funding roads, water, sewer projects, some deferred maintenance from years, with sidewalks and trails and pavement striping, vehicle purchases, you know, we're proposing to fund a capital program in fiscal year 23 that is much larger than it usually is. So again, just in this fiscal year 23, we've got some interim studies for Lake Michigan that Rob mentioned last week or 2 weeks ago. We've got all of our normal road projects, which we'll get into on a fund-by-fund basis here, including almost all grants that we've applied for, we're assuming get awarded and then they're funded in here, so we're going to go through and do a bunch of items later. A full water and sewer capital improvement plan, so that is everything that Brad and Eric and Rob and Christy and Aaron can think of that we need to fund related to those systems. We've thrown them in the budget and figured out a way to pay for them. Along with both of our building renovations, planning for the public works building, and then new programs related to playground maintenance. So Tim and Scott are here to answer questions if you have any. But we are fully funding every playground that should come up for replacement within the next 5 years, which is, it's close to 10, if I remember correctly. Not that we'll do all those, but we have the funding available to do them if we notice that the materials are breaking down. And parking lots, sidewalks, paths, things that we've never funded before to the level we've got this budget. Fiscal year 24 is more of the same. A lot of those same things carry forward, including a fully expanded Road to Better Roads program. And then this is the first year that we have to figure out what we're doing with Lake Michigan. We've got, you know, a couple $100,000 in this 5-year budget proposal for Lake Michigan, but based on our previous conversations, we know that that's going to be $90+ million just in our share. And unfortunately, all that is going to come due here in the next 5 years. So we're going to have to shoehorn that into next year's budget proposal. And then in fiscal year 25 and beyond, we have the same programs carried forward. We try to maintain funding levels for where we currently have, and expanded them a little bit where we can. So this is the same slide you saw 2 weeks ago on Lake Michigan. Again, the interim studies are funded. You've got $90+ million though that we have to figure out how to plan in fiscal year 24 and beyond. Based on our last public meetings that we had on this, where we had estimated that the average price of the water bill might go from $45 or so up to about $90 at the end. And that's assuming that you fund the entire water project out of the water fund and through water rates. You know, we figured we would propose something as an interim step to sort of chip away at that, fund the larger water projects in the next couple years, and get us on that road to being able to pay for the project, hopefully, you know, over time. So, again, so we have interim studies, we have an interim rate proposal for this upcoming year, and we did stagger a little bit, which is, I think, in a different slide. And then we have to figure out within the next year how we time and fund all these other projects related to it. So, also in this budget, again, as Rob mentioned a couple weeks ago, full Prairie Point funding. So everything that we're going to discuss and review tonight is funded in the budget should you choose to authorize it. Same for the Public Works building planning. We put in there a $22 million bond for a couple of years from now to fund a $22 million project at some point or another. Whether that gets approved by City Council or pared down is a different story, but we've at least planned for what we think is a worst-case scenario in that situation. Other items to note. There's a nice detailed section in there about when do we do a special census. We We cross 25,000 people, and that threshold gives us home rule authority, which gives us different control, local control over issues. And history has shown we'll actually usually reduce the tax burden on local property taxpayers through different revenue enhancements you can do, enforcing people that don't live in town basically to pay different taxes, so shifting the tax burden. So that's when you cross 25,000 people. And so the question is, you know, should we do a partial special census now, basically to encapsulate and grab the revenue that the state shares with us when we have new people to move into town? Or should we just wait until we cross 25,000 people for sure and then do the special census at that point? Based on our most recent estimates, we could cross that 25,000 threshold anywhere from fall of this year to 2 years from now. So it's pretty much a matter of when and not if, given that we've built so many houses, and we're probably close to 23,000, 24,000 at this point, depending on when the enumerators came through those subdivisions and people moved in. So another note about ARPA funds. So we did receive $2.8 million from the federal government through the state for pandemic relief. We can use those funds for anything in general. So the way that the federal government certifies it allows us to use it for operations, capital, et cetera. One of the issues we got into during the last large recession was using one-time revenues for ongoing operating expenditures. We're not doing that here. We're basically saying we're taking in $2.8 million. We took it in one tranche last year. We'll take it in one tranche this year, $1.4 million each. And we put large down payments on our Prairie Point project and our public works building and a couple other things. So we've used those for one-time capital expenditures, nothing related to operations. The budget that is in front of you does not address, again, $90+ million for Lake Michigan projects. So we still have to figure that out next year. Selling any city assets, we decided to sell land or buildings because we're moving around. And it also does not assume that we do a special census at any point. When we actually make that decision internally, bring it to you for city council approval, then we would start to update some of those budget estimates accordingly. But in general, to err on the conservative side, we're not going to plan for that revenue or those expenditures until we actually decide to do them. Okay, so that's my big picture and items to note. Just a couple nights, notes on the small picture. And again, these are all included in detail in the budget memo, but I want to highlight a few of them. We are proposing a general fund break-even budget. So revenues are matching expenditures, despite all of the capital programs that we're funding. So on the general fund side, on the revenue side, you're going to have a decision to make at the end of this calendar year for property taxes that will be paid in the summer of 2023. Inflation is at not historical highs, but recent highs for sure. It's in the 7, 6, 8% range, somewhere in there. The way the property tax cap works, because we're still non-home rule, we can levy inflation plus new construction, and historically we've given up inflation, but if inflation is 7% and we're capped at 5% for inflationary, if you don't take any of that, theoretically you keep falling farther behind, at least as far as tax levy related to inflation. That may be okay because that's a way to reduce property tax burden over time, but it is a choice that we have not been faced with in the past 2 decades. So on the police pension side, we had a absolutely amazing investment return last year, so those figures are very positive, and we are still continuing to fund at basically whatever the police pension fund and the actuaries have recommended. So we are on the path to meet our 2040 target and actually exceed it according to state mandate, because our internal target is 100% funded and the state mandates at 90%, so we're on track to do that, which is good. A note about sales taxes, we've been talking about that a lot in committee and in city council. We have had 2 years, and we'll have 2 years of double-digit increases, which is not common. You look through the sales tax registers for other areas in the state, and they're just starting to get back to pre-pandemic levels. And so during the pandemic, our sales taxes actually went up because people were shopping locally, and we have a large residential base that ordered a lot of things from online suppliers. So again, everything in the budget assumes the benchmark estimates that we talked about at previous city council meetings are all going to waterfall into the capital funds, anything above 10% year over year, so that is in there. We are budgeting for the IML estimate of the state income tax, so that's our share of income tax to pay throughout the state. Even though there is actually, seems to be some steam in Springfield to actually increase the municipality's share of that figure. Again, we're not planning for it, but if it comes to fruition here in the next couple months, we could actually see another double-digit increase in state income tax revenues. Local use taxes are finally starting to level off. This is the online sales tax switch. Things went from use tax to sales tax. So we're starting to see those things decrease a little bit. Again, that dollar amount, though, is eclipsed in comparison to the increases in revenue that we're seeing for sales taxes. So we're actually coming out ahead on that switch in the long run. Federal grants, the large number for the past couple years, that is all the state and federal grants that we've ever gotten. So we've got the ARPA funds from this year, which is $2.8 million, the CURE funds, which was the first pandemic relief stimulus payments of about $750,000, the downstate small business stabilization grants that we did two pods of those for local businesses, and then the business interruption grant funds, so same thing. So all of those are in there, and there's nothing new on those for future years, but that's why you see the big jump in fiscal year 21-22. And then miscellaneous income is our municipal electric aggregation program, which should come up here this year for discussion. Just a note about COVID-impacted revenues. Hotel taxes, video gaming taxes, amusement taxes, all back above pre-pandemic levels. We definitely saw some of these, like hotel taxes, greater during the pandemic, but more people are going out locally, and so they're spending money locally, and that's helping our revenues a little bit. On the expenditure side, the same assumptions that we've talked about every year for the past several years are in place. We budget for all union wage increases. We budget for non-union wage increases, merits, step, all of those things, that's all baked into the budget at a conservative dollar amount. We budget 8% increases for health insurance. You're going to hear at the next admin committee meeting that our health insurance renewal is likely to be under that dollar amount, or under that percentage amount, slightly, which is good news. And then all these other things, tuition reimbursement, training, conferences. We assume that fuel prices are going to increase, although I'm guessing we probably shall know on that one based on the past couple of weeks. And then on the department side, we've got police department, we've got the new police officers that have been in there every year, one per year, to keep up with population growth since last year's budget proposal. And then we do have another police officer in fiscal year 27, basically as a backfill for a promotion position. So there are new officers to keep up with population in there. We do have the ERP system still in the budget for total overhaul of our computer systems. We have a contingency, and then we have transfers basically to all these other capital funds to fund all the things that we've been talking about. So just some of those things, again, in Citywide Capital Fund, I mentioned grant proceeds, Bristol Ridge Road, Van Emmon, Fox Road, you know, those things are all assuming that they go forward with the different votes. The downtown grant, we're assuming that that occurs, and so we've plugged in the ability to pay for our local contribution to that. We have enhanced or new programs for sidewalk, shared use path, and city parking lot maintenance. So we've never had some of those things before. It's kind of just been wait until it goes bad and then we fund it. Now we're actually plugging money in so that we can do something every year. Kennedy Road sections done with impact fees from the Grand Reserve developer. Baseline Road is in there. Historically, that's been one of our pain points when we discuss. So we do have that fully funded. And then the Bristol Bay Street extensions. So when Route 47 is expanded, in a few years from now, we'll actually connect the Bristol Bay subdivision at two points into Route 47. So those are all funded. And then on the building and grounds fund side, again, we've got our buildings in there. Prairie Point, so the city hall, the police station is all funded. A $22 million public works building, again, that's what we think is a high-end estimate there. And then personnel costs for all of our shared services and building and grounds employees are also in that fund. On the vehicle and equipment fund side, you'll see increased line items for public works, police, parks, including on the park side, vehicles, equipment, and the full playground replacements that I had mentioned previously. We've actually upped our police vehicle allocation in the last five-year budget. We had some years where we were buying two, some years where we were buying three. It's three across the board from here on out. And so we've got that in front of you tonight for pre-authorization, basically, because it's a 40-week delivery time for squad cars. And then public works vehicles. It is $1.2 million in fiscal year 23. Good portion of that is new vehicles. Some of it is things you've already authorized that aren't going to be taking delivery until this year. So that's all in there. And then two last funds, the big ones, water and sewer. Again, water fund, water sales have been good, at least as far as generating revenues go. So we haven't had to adjust the inflationary rate in the past several years on the water side. But the staggered water increase that we're proposing is to fund basically the Lake Michigan projects that we talked about. So when we met on this internally and discussed it with the mayor, we came up that we thought that it would probably be better to do a base rate adjustment, you know, a few months from now, that way we have time to communicate what it is, and, you know, address the impact that it has on people and really what's going to happen in the next 4 or 5 years as we switch to Lake Michigan water, and then change the volume rate, which will tend to hit businesses more than residences will, on January 1st, so giving them even more time to plan for that. So accompanying that, we're proposing to leave the infrastructure fees in place. We thought about wrapping them in. You can do that. It'll still be the same dollar amount. We can make those estimates. We just figured no change there was probably easier to communicate than making a substantial change now. And then, like I said, we've got all of our capital projects in here in the water fund. The sewer fund, similar conversation, except there's not a volumetric rate on the sewer. So that is kind of a flat fee. So we are proposing to implement an inflationary rate increase on the sewer side in order to fund these capital projects, including the public works building, over the next few years. The sewer fee has not been touched, I believe it's in 5 or 6 years. So this would be our first inflationary rate increase in that time on the sewer side. And again, that allows us to build our new ERP, our new public works building, do some infiltration addressing in our sanitary sewers, and other things that will improve the quality of that system over time. Okay, so that's all I'm going to review tonight. Again, our budget schedule is, there is an agenda item last on the agenda where we can answer questions, we can talk about these things in committee, but it is up for discussion, debate, potential approval over the next three city council meetings before we need to approve this by the last meeting in April at the latest. So with that, on our website, we do have the full budget proposal, PDF, and the Excel version in there if anybody wants to take a look at that. So, thank you. Thank you.
All right, with that, I will open the public hearing. Is there any citizens that would like to comment on the budget? Is there any Zoom that we know of? We can close the public hearing. All right, with that, instead of making it on the last agenda item, is there any aldermen that have quick questions that they would like to ask Parks or anybody? But it's still fresh. Okay, then we can move along. Citizen comments for items on the agenda. Is there any of those? No, we'll move along. Consent agenda. I'd like to make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Okay.
Roll call vote.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Now we'll move on to the mayor's report, Bright Farms Development. There really wasn't anything to report, correct?
Correct. I had no update. They have not sent any of the water well stuff, so we don't have anything to report.
All right. So we'll move on to Public Works Committee.
All right. I have one thing tonight, which is PW 2022-17, a motion to approve a resolution approving an intergovernmental agreement between the United City of Yorkville and Kendall County relating to the reconstruction and maintenance of Fox Road from Foxlawn Subdivision East to Illinois Route 47, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Questions or comments? Roll call vote.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Yes.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Economic Development Report. No report. Oh, no report. I think I'm not. Public Safety Committee Report.
This is PS 22-7, a motion to approve a resolution authorizing the purchase of 3 2022 all-wheel drive Ford Explorer Police Interceptor SUV vehicles from Merrill Brothers Ford Greenfield, Illinois, the amount not to exceed $180,000, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
This is a budget item. Prior, or do you want to say something really quick?
Either way, we're coming. So this will be for three vehicles. The two of the three vehicles we do have budgeted in FY22. The third vehicle will be FY23. The reason we're bringing it to the city council this early is, as you can all imagine, there's supply chain issues. Marl Brothers, who has the state bid for vehicles, they will be getting in approximately 200 plus vehicles in April or May. If we get on that order list now, we will be guaranteed those vehicles probably would get them by early summer. If we don't get on the list, then it's a 40-week lead time when we order. So our goal with the fundraiser and bringing to public safety early was to try to get approval to order them now, not actually pay for those vehicles until we receive them, which would be FY20.
Any questions or comments on that? Roll call vote.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Clocher?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Should put everything in? Edmonds, administration committee report.
Parkour.
And I could talk about the thing coming out of the pen.
Staff. Can I give you staff
reports? We'll do it on a staff report if you want. Planning and Zoning Commission? No report. City Council? City Council report? Or City Clerk report?
No report.
Community Liaison report? No report. Staff report? Sit down.
Saturday at Yorkville St. Patrick's Day celebration. Rain, shine, warm or cold, it'll still be happening. So the run starts at 9 a.m. at South Bay Barbecue, followed by the parade at 11 o'clock. We'll be playing activities at the downtown restaurants with music, drinks, and food specials. And then we will end the night at 6:30 p.m. with a fireworks show at Rock 47 and Country Center.
All right, thanks, Tim. Hope everybody's there. Fortunately, it's not on Sunday, it's a much warmer day.
Yeah.
All right. That moves us right on to the next mayor's report, city building updates. A motion to approve a resolution approving an agreement for the new city hall and police facility resolutions with Light Construction Inc., Montgomery, Illinois, in the amount not to exceed $5,889,000 and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
All right. Would you like to give a brief of which story this afternoon?
So the motion that's in front of you is for the base contract plus alternate two for the staff recommendation plus alternate four, which is the staff recommendation. So in general, that's the construction of the building, the replacement of the HVAC units on the roof as electric currently, and redoing the roof, that's alternate two, so that's HVAC and roof. And then alternate four is moving the generator away from the building to the garage. So that'll improve the noise quality, the vibration issues, if there are any, in the building by moving the generator farther away. So the motion is drafted to accompany those three authorizations. And so we do ask, and we do recommend approval. I've got staff here if you have questions, if you want to talk about them. Additionally, the next agenda item is for furniture, which there will be a separate motion for that. That has not changed since you saw it in December. So that is same price, same scope. And then within Steve's memo, which accompanies the construction document, there is a direction sought on replacing the HVAC units on the roof, moving from an electric unit to gas. There are a bunch of reasons why they recommend that, for heating efficiency, potential cost savings in the long run, the life expectancy of the units will be a little bit longer, and you can kind of go into that a little bit more. If you have questions. On that specific item, we just need direction. There's nothing for you to authorize yet. If you are okay with it, we will bring it back in a future meeting. I don't know if it'll be a change order or a separate contract. We'll have to work through the attorney with that one. So there's three construction votes, one direction vote on the gas versus electric, and then the furniture vote. So four votes in total between these next two agenda items, but they're accompanied in two motions. So the motion that was just read, again, is the base contract plus alternate two plus alternate four on the construction. But the next motion will cover about the furniture. So before we got through all that, I knew that the last questions involved in the building from a big picture was, can we afford all this? What are the, you know, the tallies of all the component projects? You know, how does this relate to the bond issuances that we've already done? So I've got a couple charts in the packet that I ran out of time and struggled, quite frankly, with figuring out how to explain these things in writing. So I'm just going to share my screen here, and then I'm going to walk everybody through them briefly. So bear with me just a second. Let's do this one. Okay. So what you have in front of you is a chart that we created internally to show everything that we can think of for the building, and there's two sides to it. The planning side, green side, and the left side, which is basically the original projection is, how much was this line item the last time that the staff had told you that we expected it to be, you know, complete. So this is either an internal staff estimate, it could be a contractor estimate, it could be an estimate from the architects, but that's our best recollection and the documentation on where those estimates come in. Then the next column is the actual updated projection. So if it's black, it means we've actually either got the bid and approved it, or got the bid and are waiting to approve it, but we have some sort of concrete basis for that dollar amount. And then if it's green, it's still a best estimate. So we either need to pin down a contractor on it, or we're going to bid it out later, and it's still highly variable. So the ones that are green, the Cordigan contract phases 2 through 6, you've already approved that. It's just there was a question because you had to do some math because it was a percentage of the total project. It was based on a budget, so we have to figure that out at a later date. But they're like halfway down that chart where it says Cordigan site improvements and parking lot improvements. Those are exterior fence, toll booth gates, curbs, sidewalks, ADA improvements, resurfacing of the parking lot. The highest estimate that our staff had put together as part of the EEI contract that you approved at the last city council meeting to then design all those things. So that still has to be, you know, certified as designed by everybody here, put out to bid before you then authorize any later. So that one is still unknown. And then the rest of the moving costs, permit fees, owner contingency is really just money set aside for change orders. So we do have that in the budget. So that left side is basically our best way to communicate to you, you know, where things have been versus what we told you they would be price-wise and what they're coming in at. And nobody tallied those all up at the bottom too. So then on the right side, you've got the plan or the budgeting timing document. And these numbers are going to tie into the two line items we talked about, the building and grounds fund. You know, we've got $400,000 shown in building and grounds for fiscal year 22 for the building, and then we've got $8.2 million in fiscal year 23 for the building as well. And so we took all of the things, all the way from the due diligence we did before we purchased land, to the land acquisition, to these construction estimates, and then the change order money that we're setting aside, and added those things all up. And we came up with $8.078 million for fiscal year 23 or beyond, which is less than the $8.2 million that we've got shown in the budget. So that is our way to tell you, we think we can afford it, at least how we programmed out the five-year budget. So then the next question is how does that all relate to the bonds that we sold? You know, is it that we're paying a whole bunch of money out of pocket? Are we short? Do we have extra money? So that's the next chart here. I'm going to slide down over there, but we can still see this. So we're taking this green row here, conservative budget estimate, entire project. It's $10.58 million. That is the worst case scenario according to our projections of everything from land acquisition through the end of the project. Space that out over the next three fiscal years so you can see the timing of all that. And then we added up the first bond we did, which was $8.25 million. We got a premium on that, if you recall, based on the bond sale that we did. So that's extra money we can use for the project. We sold the second bond for $1 million. So all that together, I'm going to use a round number, is about $9.7 million on a $10.5 million total project over multiple fiscal years. Last year, fiscal year 21, we did transfer $384,000 from an expected budget surplus that came to fruition into the building and grounds fund to basically make a down payment for the building. So we did that too. And then in this year, between the ARPA funds and expected budget surpluses and everything else, in fiscal year 22, we're transferring even more money. So we have $3.3 million coming from the general fund to the building and grounds fund. Not all that is for the building, obviously. When you add up all those things together, it's $13.4 million, and it's only a $10.5 million total project. But that number ties into the actual budget document. You can see that. And so a portion of that 3.342 is for the building. The rest of it is spent on public works building, that planning, operational expenses related to building and grounds, and other things that we've done over time. So we're trying to show you how things have changed over time in the total project on the planning side, how we budgeted for it, came up with those numbers, and that we do have enough money within the budget proposal to cover all the alternate options, upcharges that we can think of. And then we've got the planning document that shows how the bond issuances and the money to be saved basically relates to the overall project. So all that is a way to say, before you vote on the first and probably largest piece of the construction puzzle, that we think that we can afford it, and that we think it's prudent to do so, at least with the staff recommendations. That is ultimately what the City Council will vote on.
Any questions? Ken?
So, generator, backup generator, is that gas generator? I'm going to ask you already, I forgot.
It's
diesel.
Yeah,
diesel?
Yep.
Yeah, based on the size, you can't go natural gas on that.
We're talking about alternate two, whether it's VAC, those are electric to start. If we do make the decision to go to gas, will we have to amend that contract?
We can do with the attorney, correct me if I'm wrong, but we can do it as a change order.
Change orders and
based on the percentage of the total contract.
We don't expect there to be a time issue with authorizing it and then telling the subcontractor to order. Like, we would just tell them to hold off, you know, until we make the decision on the gas versus electric. And but in general, we're going to get a roof replacement.
That number is built into this budget, too. So, I mean, if it was backed out, so you probably decided not to go that route, that would be a savings on the total budget.
Right. That's the way I'd like to lean. In terms of getting direction, that's the way I would go with this gas for this one versus electric. I know I talked to Carter about what the needs to be used costs for us, the difference between electric and gas. That's the only outstanding question I have, but I think the gas is the better option for us long term in regard to alternate two.
And both numbers that are included in the budget are from light construction to campus here right now. He's worked out the numbers.
We did put together a general estimate of amount of therm usage for natural gas for the building based off of Oswego's Village Hall, which is approximately the same size, but it's a different shape, obviously. So we're going to use that as a basis, and hopefully Bancor will be able to pull some additional numbers so we can come up with that estimate and give us an idea of what we're getting into budget-wise for a gas building.
I guess I have a good question. I work in HVAC, and I hardly ever put gas rooftops. Have you guys with light ever done it?
Yeah, we've put gas rooftops.
Not gas, the electric ones.
Electric, the percentage of gas is much higher than electric.
Yeah, so same with me.
Right.
And I asked a couple of the HVAC guys to text, and they go, the electric ones are actually more designed for down south than they are up here, because their heavy usage tends to smoke them out quicker. So they see more problems with them, and there's a reason 90% of the buildings we do have. Because typically the only reason we don't do it is if there's not gas at the site, and it'd be an astronomical fee to get it.
Yeah. And that was our initial concern, is how much was going to be to get the gas to the building. We found out that's not very much. Yeah. And then just knowing that gas would be a little more reliable with some of our issues, you know, brownouts or any type of weather conditions that we have, that they know the electricity can be a lot more conservative.
Would that affect the size of the generator, then?
What's that?
Would that affect the size of the generator?
Not enough, though.
Does that matter? Any other questions? Roll call.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Yes.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion carries.
You're with gas. What do you want, gas or electric?
Gas.
Does anybody want electric? Okay, there's that direction.
We'll see about that.
John, do you still want electric? can't hear you.
He's gone on mute.
Oh, can't hear you.
There. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Good thing you didn't hear me swearing. So, I'm not necessarily for electric, but I see the direction our regulations are going at the state and federal level, and I see that just the society is encouraging people to go more electric. We're looking at solar. I just wonder if the long run it might be something we should consider versus just making that decision tonight.
Understand.
Well, that's all. Whatever you decide, I think you should get some thought. If you want to go gas, move on. Go gas. I'm not going to fight you. We got the new building. I thank you all for your support very much. The staff thanks you, so I'm excited. Whatever you decide, I'll support.
All right.
So you ask me again, I'll review, because I'm having a good time over here.
Hi, John. A motion to approve a resolution approving a quotient for Prairie Point Furniture and Materials from La Casa, Montreal, QC, Canada, in an amount not to exceed $426,369.44, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Any questions or comments on this? Yeah, we've talked about it a million times. Roll call vote.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Yes.
Tarulis.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, moving along to number three, water study update. There's really no update, correct?
Yes, there is no substantial
update. We covered number four, so we're on to additional business. Any additional business? No.
Whoa.
Oh,
whoa.
Come on.
One time you were looking at so I just want to give an update. Once again, congratulations to Tim and Scott for that nomination. Certainly appreciate the engagement with the community. So as a whole, YF did receive 115 nominations between teachers, staff, and the community agencies that really made sense to get nominations. So that's pretty exciting. Last year we only had 91. Last year, so we are tipping the scales. I don't know that Alicia had mentioned it to you, Scott, but you should be getting some more details about a week, kind of relative to the ceremony that we have. The ceremony where the nominees who do actually receive the award will be on March 30th. That will be at the Kendall County Fairgrounds. So I'll have more details on that. I'll share them here at the Facebook page. I probably pitched for you guys to like the Burkeville Educational Foundation on there. Just that once again. And that's really it. I just wanted to kind of throw that out there again. Thank you, Tim. It's great work with you always.
Thank you.
Even though you probably get tired of hearing from me from time to time. But yeah, definitely. Thank you, Mark, for the kind of work you're doing here tonight. So.
Any other additional
business?
Citizens' comments? Yes, sir.
I'd just like to certainly thank the council for choosing Light Construction to be a part of this great project. We are excited to be a part of it and look forward to working with Steve and being able to complete a project that you guys have had a vision on for quite a while. So again, thank you for your vote of confidence, and I live right down the road, so if you need anything, Steve will be able to get a hold of me 24/7. So just thank you to the council and your vote of confidence.
Thank you. No executive session, so guess what? Adjournment.
Oh my gosh.
Roll call, please.
Did I not tell you this?
All in favor?
Motions? To
what?
Motion?
Oh, come on, motion to adjourn.
Second.
Roll call vote.
Soling?
Yes.
Merrick?
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Yes.
Have a great time, John.